This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You're listening to Davin's Den. I feel like that intro music would have been great for Joe's like probing.
Welcome to Joe's Asshole. Featuring Dr. Cat. An incompetent incompetent blood letter.
I really feel like that would have been appropriate.
It sounded like SNL music.
It did. I liked it.
I liked it.
It was very nice. That was that's Chuck Morris with Good Life. We've played it before.
Like it.
But that was the first time. Not the first time. Anyway, got to find my comics in the news thing, so bear with me.
It's comics in the news. Bong, bong.
Are we keeping you up, Joe?
No, sorry.
What the fuck is it?
I don't know.
Now it's time for comics in the news.
Things are a mess.
And now it's time for comics in the news.
All right, so we saw this article about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of the congresswomen from New York, the 29-year-old. So late-night hosts who feast on political gaffes mostly ignore AOC. Saturday Night Live featured her in small roles in two recent skits. The first proved brief and kind, while the second cast her via cast member Melissa Villaseñor. Let's hope that was right. As part of a progressive Charlie's Angels group. Comedian Dave Landau, co-host of the Anthony Cumia Show on Compound Media, noticed the lack of Ocasio-Cortez jokes, too. Probably didn't notice until you called him up. Go, hey, what do you think of this? I go, yeah, I noticed that, too. It's probably how that went. But I don't think he was sitting there losing sleep over it.
No.
Funny you should ask.
Yeah.
Comedians have held their fire completely, says Landau, a left-leaning stand-up whose routine serves up apolitical gags. What's he got, like whoopee cushions and shit? What's an apolitical gag, Joe?
I don't know.
Okay. There's been very little joking, even gentle teasing towards her. Not even canoodling or tickling. It's not for lack of comedic options, though. There's a lot of people could joke about her that's not even political. From crazy ex-girlfriend eyes to the fact that she has the millennial symptom of saying "like" every four words, Landau says. Like, everybody's been fucking doing that since our generation, my generation, since the Valley Girl thing. Not really.
You want to know something? I like when you also like,
you said it too.
Turn like this. You know the last part of the sentence. The sound up. Like,
yep.
You know, like that. It drives me nuts.
Give me an example.
I'd like to have a latte.
Yeah, like that. It makes you sound stupid.
Make it non-fat?
Yeah.
Like are you not sure?
I got you. A lot of people talk. I've been doing that for years, though.
Yes.
It's not really a millennial thing. I got you,
though. It's become a tick.
Yeah, it's a tick. Somebody should kill that tick. Satirists typically pounce when someone hits the cultural radar as hard as Ocasio-Cortez has. Landau suggests other factors are keeping comics from letting loose. I think the Me Too and feminism movements mixed with the PC culture has caused comics to be afraid. They only want to bash Trump because it's not going to get much backlash from the vocal majority, he says. It's very safe. Oh, we'll talk, Dave. He recalls a fellow comic getting grief for mocking ex-porn star Stormy Daniels' new stand-up comedy gig. Social media users slammed him as misogynistic for defending the artist's stand-up against the neophyte. It's so rare for people to jump to conclusions and name-call on social media.
So weird. I can't believe that happened to him.
I feel bad for Dave having to discover this now.
But, you know, I hesitate to wonder what would happen in comments.
I don't know.
Sections.
Well, I'm sure the chat room on his show is very gentle and caring.
I have not noticed that to be true.
No. If people attack him for saying that, then what might they say to someone else for bashing a woman who's actually so successful that she's made her way to Congress, he asks. I think comics don't want to deal with all the shit that comes with a joke these days, and it's sad. They beeped it. They put bleep in an article, which I don't understand.
What?
They actually wrote bleep, which I don't.
They wrote bleep.
But I will not pander to that. I am unafraid and unabashed. I will say shit. They even say shit on the news.
They do.
Yeah. Right leaning stand up Michael Loftus. Don't know him. Part of the Deplorables comedy tour, says politics play a large role in the lack of Ocasio-Cortez humor. They're rooting for her. They want her to succeed. You don't make fun of someone who's on your team. I guess you never played sports with me. What about locker room talk? Today, late night landscape leans heavily to the left, as does SNL, despite the show's rich bipartisan history. For comparison's sakes, Comics happily shredded former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, a Republican, the minute she hit the national stage. Tina Fey's Palin sketches proved some of the most memorable SNL moments. They had no problem tearing Palin down because it was in their best interest, says Loftus, who teases Ocasio-Cortez during his current Deplorables tour. Loftus misses the days when an SNL mainstay like Phil Hartman could cut across the comedy grain. He recalled a Hartman sketch featuring former President Ronald Reagan as a secret genius rebutting the amiable dunce narrative surrounding the two-term president. I don't recall that.
I don't remember that, but that sounds like a great premise.
Phil Hartman was great.
Oh, my God, yeah.
A similar sketch would never appear now, he says. Well, no, they don't have those writers.
Right.
Unfortunately. The iconic show stars liberals, is written by liberals and produced by liberals. They don't make fun of their own, he says. Progressive stand-up Noriko Ott, another comic I never heard of, suggests another reason for the lack of Ocasio-Cortez routines. Her key initiatives leave little room for laughs. They're also serious. No humor there.
Tom says, oh, come on. Dave used to perform in Ann Arbor, where you could get a degree from U of M in Internet Butthurt.
A lot of letters in there.
Dave, a very funny guy.
But he's got apolitical gags. How to make a funny guy sound not funny. Apolitical gags. That's a good way to do it.
It's like, that sounds so dry.
Sounds like he's wacky. Is he wacky?
No, very, very matter of fact, very, very funny guy.
Is he aware that he's doing apolitical gags?
No.
Her positions on things aren't comedic, Ott says, adding the fury over her Green New Deal proposal came courtesy of a disinformation campaign fueled by the Koch brothers. The comedy zeitgeist, two words that should never be back-to-back. The comedy zeitgeist surrounding Trump is about more than just his mannerisms, Ott says. When people are making fun of Trump, what they're actually doing is bringing up his ideas and taking them down, Ott says. The resistance is real within you. Veteran satirist Will Durst says Ocasio-Cortez's measured youthful exuberance makes this very smart politician tougher to nail down for many comics. The advantage with Sarah Palin was she was a cartoon. All you had to do was shoot pretend guns with your fingers and say, pew-pew, pew-pew, says the left-leaning Durst, who admits he gave up his bipartisan approach to political humor with Trump's election. Plus, he says Ocasio-Cortez at 29 lacks the baggage many politicians bring to the table.
True.
Conservative stand-up Nick DiPaolo says liberal comics are tied up by their own ideology when it comes to Ocasio-Cortez. Tied, I tell you, bound like intestines. Thank God there's a doctor with a finger. They can't criticize her. She's a young, empowered woman. She's everything they stand for. I believe I can fly, says the host.
Oh, no, don't sing that.
Says the host.
Yeah,
of
the, De Blasio will dance to it.
And apologize.
For the dancing, he's there.
The new subtitle to the song is, I believe I can pee.
That was stupid of the left to attack him. What's he fucking singing the song?
He probably didn't know.
Who attacked the DJ?
Well, it was in a church.
It was in a church.
Yeah, but was that, you know.
There wasn't a
the DJ.
There was a choir.
Oh,
it was in a black church.
Oh, yeah. Well, why did they pick that song to sing?
Yeah, don't fucking attach De Blasio. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pay the choir director that.
Because the left has to.
Yeah.
Because the left has to. We're tired with Donald Trump. We're now eating our own.
Oh, you are. It is fucking snack time.
Nom, 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 nom. Yeah. Ooh, that tastes like Beto. It's Irish with a little Mexican tinge. Delicious. They can't criticize her. She's a young, empowered woman. She's everything they stand for, says the host of the Nick DiPaolo Show podcast, heard Mondays through Thursdays via nickdip.com. If they said, shut up, you sound silly, they'd say it's sexist. DiPaolo says he sees reams of comedy material from the arrogant Democratic Socialist. She sounds like an eighth grader when she talks, really. I appreciate her optimism, but her ideas are ridiculous. DiPaolo isn't too mad at his fellow comics, have yet to unleash their satirical fury on her, though. She's the best thing to happen to Trump. Keep her out there. Don't take her down. Let her inflict all the damage, he says. Landau says if the Ocasio-Cortez comedy dam finally breaks, SNL could lead the charge. I think for live sketch comedy, she's perfect for characterization. Most over-the-top people are, Landau says, adding it doesn't have to be nasty or confrontational. Impersonation can be a sign of respect, and even if she's the agenda they promote, she can be parodied. All right. I do not agree with the article's premise that comedians are making decisions, for the most part, there's always exceptions, are making decisions that are not based on laughs when it comes to AOC jokes. You know what? If you see a joke, most comics will go for it. They're just not doing it. As I posted on social media, the problem with AOC is she's one of 438. She's a big deal in New York. The media wants to make her something bigger than she is, which is what they did with Donald Trump in 2015 and got him the presidency. They gave him more attention than he deserved. She gets more attention. But most people aren't watching the news the way we watch the news.
No.
So to do an AOC joke, you would have to explain who she is, what she's like, and then do the joke. So unless the joke is just a slam dunk home run that everybody's going to get, it's just not worth the effort to go there with her.
The thing is that I do goof on her in my act. Ironically, I did a show with Dave Landau 2 weeks ago, and I was all in there.
But like we were talking about on Facebook, you're doing it in New York, where everybody knows who she is.
Right. So I think the thing is, well, I think he even asked me, is like, well, would you do it on the road? And I go, I was honest. I go, I don't think I would.
No, you said you would. You said you would do it on the road. But that's my point.
Well,
the fact that you're having second thoughts is, you know, she doesn't translate.
Well, here's the deal. I said I don't think I would do it on the road. What I did say is, and you're like, well, that's my point. I go, I would be interested to try it.
Oh, sure.
To see how it goes. Just by the fact of this conversation and the debate that we had over the weekend on Facebook about it.
That's fine.
You know, because and the reasons I wouldn't are for the reasons that he said. How far, you know, because, you know, I've been doing, everybody here knows about the whole Amazon deal and this, the Green Deal and blah, blah, blah. You know, where we're on the, you know, on the front lines with this.
Right. It's New York.
Right. Yeah. And I agree wholeheartedly that when we go out to Kentucky, who the hell? They're going to stare at me like I got fired, and rightly so.
That's my point. That's why I don't agree with the premise of this article.
Right.
All right. So Landau says the following. I think the Me Too and feminism movements mixed with the PC culture has caused comics to be afraid. They only want to bash Trump because it's not going to get very much backlash from the vocal majority, says. It's very safe. Dude, this comes from a guy who has not done Trump jokes on the fucking road.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are more vocal. Comedy club owners, right-wing comics will tell you, they've never seen the backlash like you get from a Trump joke.
And you're talking about Dave?
Dave's
on the road every week.
But he's not doing Trump jokes. He's not, and most comics aren't doing Trump jokes. Because if he was doing Trump jokes, and he was seeing comics do Trump jokes, and like I said, I walk into the clubs and they go, don't do political stuff, and I do it anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Because there is the backlash.
Yeah.
No, there's fucking backlash. That sounds like somebody who hasn't done it. And he doesn't do political jokes, so that's why he would say
maybe. But like I said, Dave works the same place as we work.
I understand that, but he's not doing the same jokes I'm doing. Because I come back here every time I go on the road with stories of, you know, owners were in a panic, you know, audience liked it, didn't like it, you know.
Yeah.
There's a fucking backlash.
You know what? Next time I see him, I'll ask him. You know, I'm curious about that. Because like I said.
You can have him on if you want.
Because he goes out every week. On the road, he still plays Michigan a lot, you know, because that's his old stomping ground. So he still does a lot of gigs out there. So yeah, that's a curious. Yeah, thank you. That's a curious on that.
So he thinks feminism has caused comics to be afraid. I don't really see that because I still see comics talking about their wives and women. Because for so many comics,
I think
that's all they have.
I think it depends where your career you are. I mean, you know, if you're got management behind you, you're trying to get something, you have to walk the line on that. For a guy like me, I go up there and I tell it like it is. There are nights I do well, there's nights I don't, but I stick by my material. I have nothing to lose. They don't want me. They could care less about me, okay? So I can go out there and, you know, no harm, no foul. As long as I do a good job and get laughed, but, you know, it's fun management and career. They don't want me. I'm a middle-aged white guy. So you want to know something? I'm going to go out there as a middle-aged white guy, you know?
I haven't seen comics who used to do jokes about women stop doing jokes about women. I haven't seen it.
I can't imagine
that. I mean, I just never really had a ton of those jokes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do what I have. They point to Crazy Eyes saying and saying like a lot as things ripe for the picking with AOC. I don't see – here's the thing. I don't really see how that translates into a stand-up set. I agree with Dave says, you know, for SNL – That you know, the Crazy Eyes and saying
for
like
parody,
yeah, that would be great for us. But for stand up, no, it doesn't translate.
You want to know how norms are changing? Maybe I mentioned this before. Rock Up, we did a gig back in August, and I was the only one that really dressed up because the guys, you know, and I'm like, you know what, we're doing a show. Now I'm running around, and like I said, we don't have the fan base we used to, but even with the fans that we had, I didn't even know dressing up in that outfit I used to wear, people are probably gonna, you know, you play in front of a crowd. And I'll probably get like yelled at for shaming.
No, I don't think so,
because that's always been part of your thing.
Yeah, but if people don't know the band that well, if you're walking to a club and we're, you know,
you just say you're other. That's all you gotta say.
Give them your checklist.
Yeah, you fucking shame them for trying to shame you. How dare you make me feel bad as I'm trying to find who I am? I'm a man in my mid-50s, and I just finally
feel free enough.
That's what you should do.
I thought about it after the last gig. I go, can I catch shit for this?
Joe, you do you.
You know?
You be an ugly-ass woman.
You know? And the funny thing is, a rehearsal with Fragile Sky on Friday, and we were talking about, like, we haven't enough photographer at the gig and this and the other thing, and Mike Messina's like, Joe, wear your Rotgut outfit. I go, I don't think I can anymore.
I don't have the ass for it.
I don't know. Oh, believe me, there's a doctor that disagrees. But nonetheless.
It's a little hitting me wrong across the hips.
But yeah, you know, it's like, the norms have changed. You know, norms have changed.
Here's what this piece does not understand. Mm-hmm. I don't think they understand, and I'm going to go through a whole list of things, that Donald Trump's been in the public eye since the 1980s.
Yeah.
And he's a once-in-a-lifetime comedic target. And I'm just going to go through some of the stuff that everybody knows, not the deep-dive stuff that I sometimes talk about.
Right.
You got the hair.
Yep.
You got the fatness. I'm not saying these are things I would attack, but things that people would attack for him.
Yeah.
You got the skin color. You got the weird marriage. You got the sexual things he said about his daughter. The barrage of tweets, 50 this weekend. The easy-to-prove lies. The boasting. The hand movements. The appalling spelling. The simplistic language. The at-best bizarre relationship with dictators. The obsession with vanquished political foes. The political rallies where he gives us gems like Mexico will pay for it. The fact that he's the most powerful person in the world. The fact that he's a draft dodger. The sound effects that he makes during speeches. Bing, bing, bing. The stark difference between normal Trump and teleprompter Trump.
Right.
The giving of nicknames. The public feuds with private and public citizens. The cheating with porn stars. The three marriages. The adulations by evangelicals. The being Democrat most of his life. The birther issue. That's just shit I thought about that everybody knows off the top of my head. And this is the stuff everyone knows. This isn't the obscure stuff. Trump is a shared consciousness with society. Whether you love him or hate him, everybody has an opinion about him, and it's a strong opinion. That's what makes him such great comedic fodder. You don't have to explain who Donald Trump is. He's not the guy who hosted The Apprentice. He's the guy who used to host The Apprentice, is now the president of the United States, and wants us to talk about him.
Right.
He wants to be in the public eye. It is easy to do Trump jokes. It's hard to do original Trump jokes, but it is easy to do them, whereas AOC, like we just said, do they know who she is? You got to explain who she is. You want to explain the fucking Green Deal? Fine, you're going to explain who she is, what the Green Deal is, just to get to Cal Farts. Is it really worth it just to get to the Cal Farts? Which is where she's actually scientifically correct, but
right.
That's where the joke is. Cal Farts, we're going to... If that's what you wanted to... It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Well, in this area, it is.
Because you don't have to do the whole explanation.
Right,
because
exactly.
You say AOC, we all know her.
You have to go into an... Like, yeah, exactly. If out in the road, yeah, you have to go into the, senator,
congresswoman. She's one of 438.
She's a congresswoman in New York, and she's got these crazy ideas. It's a preamble. It's not a setup.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, there's way too much, explaining the backlog of who it is. And I mean, in the major metro area, we're aware, but she doesn't have the backlog of all those events and all of those
things. No, Trump's a once-in-a-lifetime character.
Yeah, we know who
Bill Clinton gave us two things. He gave us, I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, and I did not inhale. And comics of all political persuasions have fucking run with that for like 20, 30 years. Those were the two things Bill Clinton gave us.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump gives us he gives us that before 8 a.m. on a Wednesday.
And he keeps writing his own material.
You can't doubt that. You know, it's like, and the reason why he's always in the news is he's always in the news. There used to be a time where you said, I wonder what the president's up to this
Not
week.
This guy.
Yeah.
He'll
yeah.
let you know.
Yeah.
He's sitting around in boxes watching Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd see on the news, the president is going to Camp David this weekend. It's like, I didn't know what he was doing for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
I like that type of president.
Yes.
I like it. A president that I don't need to... That isn't always checking in with us.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about what he's up to.
I like when he plays golf. It means he's not fucking shit up.
Yeah. Somebody said it must have been raining on the golf course last Saturday.
Yes. Really?
Enough to do.
Oh, my God.
But like I said, I don't think Landau understands the grief we get before we even hit the stage by clubs to not go there with stuff.
Right.
Right-leaning stand-up Michael Loftus, part of the deplorable commentators' politics, plays a large role in the lack of Ocasio-Cortez humor. They are rooting for her. They want her to succeed. You don't make fun of someone who's on your team. Listen, that's not the way I think. But there, he might have a point there.
Yeah.
There might be some. Like, I had some Obama jokes. I didn't have a ton of them.
Right.
I didn't find him particularly funny. He was, quote unquote, on my team. If there was shit I thought that was funny, I did the jokes.
Right.
But, you know, I get that. Well, some people would think. I don't think that's the main reason, but it could be a reason for some folks.
Yeah.
The article mentions the zeal to go after Sarah Palin. However, it fails to mention one of them was campaigning to be a heartbeat away from the presidency, and one of them is a non-committee chair freshman congresswoman who is nothing more than one of 438. It's a false equivalency.
It really is.
Sarah Palin burst onto the scene and was going to be the second most powerful person in the world.
Right.
If they won that. AOC's got very little power. Very little power.
Yeah.
And the media wants to make it like she's got, you know, Joe likes to say she's the face of the Democratic Party. No, she's not. That's just a narrative.
The Republicans
want you to believe that, and media wants you to believe that. But anybody who's paying attention goes, she ain't. If you want to say anybody's the face of the party at this point, you would have to go Pelosi.
Yes.
I don't know if she's really the face. We're going to find the new face. That's what this whole campaign is about.
But at the moment, she's the focus.
It's Pelosi. And she's not very funny. She's not a fun. You know, you might not like her, and people don't.
I think you and I go on about this all the time. I think Cortez is a big problem to Pelosi because she's a loose cannon.
Nah, I think Pelosi's using
it. And with the outreach to all the younger voters that are
when AOC elected and started running her mouth? All the Nancy Pelosi memes went away. They were replaced by all the AOC memes. So Pelosi's doing her shit, running the committee chairs, getting all her ducks in a row, while fucking AOC takes all the heat. She's just a fuck. She might not be here in 2 years.
Pelosi will be here. I think the younger, the socialist left contingent.
Don't talk socialist with what your president said
But
did you hear what your president said today?
What did he say? I work. What?
That's why you can't do AOC jokes.
Yeah.
Let's see. What did he say? He attacked a private company for moving where they want to build their factories.
Okay, who cares?
Well, it's not capitalism when you're interfering.
It is capitalism if he makes a law that they can't. So who cares? That's his opinion.
No, he's the fucking president.
He's not going to make a law and tell them they can't move.
None of these people are going to make laws, but yet you like to call them socialists. He wants the FCC to look into shows like Saturday Night Live for the jokes because he doesn't like the jokes. It was a fucking rerun.
Because he's a sourpuss. He's an asshole with that. Because he has a fucking sense of humor. He doesn't have a sense of humor. I never said that.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And he wants Twitter to be investigated because he doesn't like who they're banning. That was today.
Well, he's busy trying to get Janine Pirro a job back.
I understand. So. Yes, he's also programming alleged news stations. That's
he's a busy man.
What?
He's a busy man.
No, not so busy.
Yeah.
Let's see. DePaulo says he sees reams of comedy material from the arrogant Democratic socialist. She sounds like an eighth grader when she talks. I appreciate her optimism, but her ideas are ridiculous. So if he thinks her ideas are ridiculous, and nobody's stopping him from doing the jokes. I would say if he does find her funny, do the fucking jokes, Nick.
Let me ask you. Well, the problem with Nick is he's a middle-aged white guy.
No, the problem then he's not. Then he doesn't have the courage of his convictions. Then I would tell Nick DePaulo he's a pussy. Nobody is stopping you, Nick DePaulo, from doing the jokes. Do the fucking jokes. If you think there's so much, I do the Trump jokes. I go into fucking Trump country, and the club say, "Yeah, I wouldn't do. Be careful." I go, "Don't worry, I know what I'm fucking doing. I do the jokes. I'm a middle-aged white guy. Do the jokes, Nick. Do the fucking jokes. If she's so funny, if they're funny, I'm gonna laugh. People will laugh if the jokes are that funny. If she's so ripe with material, do the fucking joke." Nobody's stopping you. There's no comedy police. And he's powerful enough where he can tell a club owner, fuck off. I just brought all these people here to see me. I'm going to do the jokes.
He could, in this, you know, like I said, it goes back to the geographical area. I mean, he could do it here. If he goes up to Boston, you know, they might not
But he's trying to make it like other reasons why people aren't doing the jokes. Like, she's so ripe for comedic material that we're just, like, passing on this fruit of comedy gold.
Because the media has made her a star. The media has made her...
Which makes her ripe for comedy, according to Nick. Do the fucking jokes. Nick's the one that's saying she's so funny and there's so much there. Do the fucking jokes. I don't do the jokes because I don't think the explanation is worth it for me to get there. Mm. I personally don't think she's that funny. I understand why some people do. I think she's ripe for Saturday Night Live. I think Saturday Night Live will embrace it and go after her. I think that's the medium. But for stand-up, it's just not there. But if Nick thinks he's there, if he says Nick is very accomplished, do the fucking jokes. Otherwise, you're just a whiny little bitch. And I would say it to his face. Nobody's stopping Nick DiPaolo from doing those jokes. Nobody's saying, Nick, you can't make fun of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's a fucking myth. Do the joke.
I mean, if there's something that's that funny.
And he's a great comic. So I'm sure he can find something very funny with it. I'm sure he can write a great joke about it. I don't doubt it. Do the fucking joke. Don't fucking talk shit and then back away and don't do the joke. Do the fucking joke. You know, these guys, they like to say, oh, I'm so edgy. Do the fucking joke. I do the fucking jokes. These guys don't. Anyway, so the article says that they long for Saturday Night Live to be partisan. They conveniently forget that Hillary Clinton routinely got satirized in 2015 and 2016. They would bring in Larry David to do Bernie Sanders. They got Kate McKinnon, who's a fucking genius, doing Elizabeth Warren now.
Oh yeah, she's amazing.
Listen, one guy's the president. And he's comedic gold, but they always target the president.
Yeah,
I mean, it's sour grapes.
You know, and like I said, he did the that goof on Spicer when he was
doing
the press
conference. You're very good about it. You laugh at funny.
It was one of the funniest skits I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I mean, when he got so pissed funny. And put the pillar and threw it into the fucking press corps, I pissed myself. I was a genius.
Chasing everybody around with the platform, with the podium.
Yeah.
Oh my God, on wheels.
Funny. I mean,
I can't remember her name, but they had the actress come in for that.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, they'll bring people in.
Yes.
People in if it's worth the fucking joke. Yeah. I guarantee you we're going to see more AOC jokes.
Oh, no, yeah, they, sure.
They'll do it with her, but sure. It doesn't translate to stand-up. I think this is the right, they're trying to create a false equivalency where there's not one. They're butthurt because of all the Trump jokes. Listen, fucking, Jimmy Fallon just did fucking Beto O'Rourke. As soon as Beto announced, Jimmy Fallon that night was doing the Beto O'Rourke announcement, the fucking wild arms and everything. You know, because Beto O'Rourke's going to be easy to make fun of.
Yeah.
I might even do some Beto O'Rourke jokes because the guy's a fucking clown. He's, if I could think about it, you know, he's apologizing for everything. Jimmy went the physical way with the arms. Yeah, some of these people are funny to make fun of. Elizabeth Warren, I mean, Kate McKinnon's doing not that fucking funny.
Not that funny.
So you do the Pocahontas thing, okay? I mean, if that's what you want to do. But it's one hit.
That's
you're done.
So one
no,
note.
She does her own jokes when she's trying to be endearing and make herself look like she's a normal person.
Yes.
I'm going to have a beer.
I am.
I'm going to consume an alcoholic beverage in my kitchen.
And that's fine. And it translates for a sketch show.
Yeah.
Like Saturday Night Live. If they wanted to goof on that, I'd be right
I wonder
there.
If those guys did goof on that.
I don't know.
I mean, that's
but
right for the picking.
Most of this doesn't translate to stand-up because it's just not worth it to explain who these people are. As it goes on, if somebody cartoonish, listen, if Joe Biden winds up being the nominee, I guarantee you there'll be Biden jokes.
Oh, my God.
Because much like Trump, he can't fucking help himself.
No,
he's going to say ridiculous things and do ridiculous things, and there'll be a bunch of Joe Biden jokes.
Yes.
It's like the people who wrote this and a lot of the comics don't understand how stand-up comedy works.
But they do.
I don't know if they do. Nick DiPaolo is really disappointing. Nick DiPaolo, because he's good enough where if he really thinks she's comedic gold, he can do the fucking
I always
joke.
Thought he was pretty fearless.
I don't know. Kathy Griffin. We'll go on to Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin complained in a recent interview that she's still being blackballed in Hollywood for her infamous President Trump decapitation photo. I believe she was on the April Fool's show one year.
Yes, she was.
That show will be next week, kids.
April I know.
Fool's joke show next week. The Grammy-winning comedian appeared at South by Southwest this week, Talk Stupid, to premiere her new stand-up film, Kathy Griffin, A Hell of a Story, which she financed herself because she says can't find allies in the entertainment industry. Me too. Miss Griffin became a public pariah in 2017 when she was photographed holding a fake severed head depicting the president. The comedian was widely condemned and lost sponsors, hosting gigs, and tour dates over the stunt. She said she was investigated by months by the Department of Justice and placed on the federal no-fly list during that time. I didn't know she was placed on the no-fly list.
I heard about that. I thought that was really overreaching.
It's a scotia.
You know?
Don't fuck with the guy in charge.
Yeah, really.
Nobody knows.
Well, you know how thin-skinned he is. You surprised?
Yeah. Never in the history of the United States has a sitting president used the power of the Oval Office, the first family, the right-wing media, the Department of Justice to try to make an American citizen unemployable, uninsurable, for an absolute non-threat that was covered by First Amendment. Excuse me, Dixie Chicks, say hold my beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe they feel otherwise.
Yeah.
She called it being thrown to the Trump wood chipper, the outlet report. Ms. Griffin said she learned something important through her experience. It turns out there's such a thing as bad publicity, she joked. Mm-hmm.
But you want to know something?
No.
There was somebody... Just sit there. Look at your
Just sit there and be pretty.
Tell us when we go to break, Joe. That'd be fine.
It's hysterical. But anyway, you would think, you know, that she can't get work. But however, if the country, you know, is filled with so many liberal-leaning people, you would figure that her shows would sell out.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, this.
Last I checked, she sold out fucking Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, and she has been working in Europe.
So there was such a disconnect, she said. I'm selling out the Sydney Opera House. I'm not even on TV anymore. I sold out Carnegie Hall in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Then shut your face.
Her and Nick DiPaolo could share a fucking room with shut your face. I started just DMing showrunners and literally saying, can you just give me five lines? I did the same thing. I need America to know that I'm not ISIS. I need the same thing. And I didn't decapitate anybody. Me too. This is the real Me Too movement. The answer has been no. I get the same response. I've reached out to so many people. I can't do it anymore. Really? We call it comedy. Ms. Griffin said, there's an undeniable misogyny. And what's happened to her compared to other celebrities such as Johnny Depp and Peter Fonda, who've made over-the-line comments about the president and his family. But you did an act out, dear. I'm hoping, frankly, more women come around because, and this is not going to be popular, it's the dark side of feminism. When the chips are down, bros before hoes, Ms. Griffin said. Guys will stick together like cops. Republicans are like that, too. Women, when the chips are down, we tend to fracture. When I read that 53% of white women voted for Trump, I'm not even talking to white bitches anymore. What the fuck is wrong with them?
Yeah, well, great way to win back people.
I know.
I mean, she
went to the Joe Curry Charm School.
She's her own worst enemy with this whole thing.
I don't think she's being blackballed.
I don't know if she is or she isn't, but I think that it's, you know, it is completely overreaching that she was put on the no-fly list. Come on.
Fine, but she's not
yeah, they got to relax. Yeah. But
she's not going to play CPAC, but, you know.
Yeah, I know.
If there's so many people that don't like Trump, and she's coming out against, and there's a lot,
yeah.
Then there's, and a lot of people in entertainment are liberal, there's plenty of places for her to work.
Yeah, but you know what? If we're doing the Venn diagram, the group of people that don't like Trump aren't necessarily part of the group of people that like Kathy Griffin. Maybe there's people that also are like, well, I don't like him, but I don't necessarily like you either.
She comes across as feeling like the entertainment industry owes her something.
She is so mean-spirited in her comedy, and she's like, oh, I'm not taking any prisoners. I'm just going to rip everybody down.
Which is fine, but, now it's your time.
It's come home to roost.
Yeah, now it's... Yes. That's a great point. She's taken on everybody in entertainment.
Ripped everybody, and also
the whole thing, since the start, she's come off as the victim. She's playing herself as the victim in all this.
Well, I mean, and I agree with you, but so does our president. They have a lot in common, as it turns out. Two very powerful people, one more powerful than the other, both redheads, are very victimized.
Hey, now.
You're not aggrieved. She compares herself to Johnny Depp and Peter Fonda. She was never on that level. She had a show called The D-List. She was never that big.
It's funny you said that, because when I was doing the prep for this and I read that line, I'm like, but that's who she portrayed herself as.
You're not
That's what got her where she is.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp is one of the iconic actors of his generation.
Yeah.
A brilliant actor, whether you like his politics or not.
Or you like his bitch slapping. Oh, I didn't say that. What?
Whatever. Iconic actor. Peter Fonda. Is he even around anymore?
I don't know.
See, she put a foot in cow shit in the sense that whole thing with the whole head screwed her up. If she didn't do that, she likes ripping people apart and goofing on. She could have had a field day goofing on Trump.
Yeah.
And you know, the way he looks and the way he acts, you know, because she goofs on celebrities. There's no bigger celebrity right now than Donald Trump. She could have had a field day. She could have made a ton of money.
She still can. She's still working. But she's not getting the project she wants. The whole thing
with the head kind of tainted everything. If she addresses it and addresses it, you know, it's almost like Louis C.K. Having to address the masturbating
thing. She does address it in her comedy. I think...
I think think she does.
But at this, she just sounds like a whiny little bitch. Fucking take it.
Well, Tom says, yeah, Trump may be thin-skinned, but let's be real here. Stunts like hers implying the death of a sitting POTUS never go well. Had she done that, let's say Obama, she would have been burned at the stake as a heretic. I have to agree with that. If she had done that with Obama, people would have lost
it would be
shit.
The same thing. She'd still have trouble working.
She'd still have trouble working.
Yeah, when you go after the number one guy on top, it's not going to go well for you.
I mean, going after him is one thing, but implying make fun him of death, him. Yeah, that was way...
She could Ooh. I mean, you know, she could have had a field. She didn't do that. She could have still goofed on him and had a field. That's what
she
does.
But she still has a career. Yeah. But she still has a career. She's
but that whole incident.
She's blaming misogyny. Misogyny has nothing to do with this.
I don't think so.
Well, right. And like I said, her biggest problem with the whole damn thing is she made herself the victim.
Yes.
She made herself the
victim.
That
only works for one person in this country. Everybody else has to take responsibility for what they did. One person, happens to be the president, is the only one who's the victim. Everybody else.
Well, the president can get away with it because the president isn't looking to be booked anywhere. You know, I mean, he does the rallies and stuff like
gig.
That. He's the president. He's got the gig. You go anywhere, there's going to be people there. She's got to go out and she's got to put asses in seats.
She's still doing well. So you're not on fucking TV. Do your comedy tour. Could be worse. Could be Cosby. Fucking relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
She just sounds like this is why she was a fool when we did it like a year or two ago.
Yep.
And she's still a fool. She doesn't get it. Own it. Own it. Go, you know what? I fucked up.
I went too far.
You know what? I've always been on the outside. Now I'm even further on the outside.
Yeah.
Bring it. I'm going to self-produce stuff. I'm going to put it on TV. I'm going to be undeniable.
Be the outlaw.
Build yourself up like you did once before.
Yeah.
Own it. Own it. I'm too hot for network TV. I'm too hot for cable. I'm too hot for the streaming services because I tell it like it is. Fucking branded.
And there's
Kathy.
Enough. There's enough people out there that don't like Trump where she could get that. She
and
has
she's
that.
Very good at what she does.
She is.
She still has a lot of fans. The gay community loves her.
I
always thought she was very talented for what she did.
Yes. I always liked her. You know.
It's just this is a bad look. This makes you just want to go away, Kathy. I don't want to. Like, I was actually considering going to Carnegie Hall. I didn't do it. I was considering to go to Carnegie Hall to support her, and I never pay for comedy anymore just because you know it's
your audiences feel the same way.
That's why you'd be sleeping in the car.
Right.
You could have been cuddled with him. That's not a pillow.
Cuddling's off the table now. Save that for your doctor, my friend.
You could have been spooning. Now you're going to be spinning alone in the car.
So, yeah, she just comes across really badly. Yeah. Own it.
This is really a bad look.
Own what you did. And embrace
it. She put it, you know, she screwed up again because she's doing this whole guilt trip thing.
Yeah, it's like, stop. Really.
I had to finance it myself. At least you have the money to finance
and, you know,
it.
Like I said, calling a moment on stuff. I mean, when Pryor caught on fire. And stuff like that. Then the next special that came out, the first 20 minutes, was on that. Okay. That's when my thing with Louis C.K. I mean, he's starting to do it, but my biggest critique of Louis C.K. coming back is he's really not addressing it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And a comic, you know.
You got to talk about
it,
dude.
You got to call the moment. You got to call. That's what comics do. So, and I'm surprised Louis is as brilliant as he is kind of starting now to edge into it. But you know.
It's always hard. To talk about yourself. So I get it. Like, I don't really talk about myself too much.
Yeah.
My reveal of self.
Oh, Starla would be upset.
I understand. She's out of the business, too.
Yeah. My reveal. Thank God.
My reveal of self is pretty much my attitude and the way I say things and the way I carry myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really talk about it. But I get it. But CK is somebody who talked about himself.
Yeah.
Kathy Griffin was not.
No, she didn't talk as much about herself.
She talked about her parents. So, I mean, she could. She's just not there yet. But stop whining, Kathy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go, listen, I get it. But I'm still here. I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I'm still turning out great comedy.
Right.
And just do it like that. Own it. That's
and her whole thing is ripping down the curtains in front of celebrity. I mean, I guess she did on the spur of the moment. But, you know, if I was her, I'd go, all right, this is what I do. Let me find that public. You know,
my special would be called Karma's a Bitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I would open go, for years, I took down every celebrity, and then I took down myself.
Yeah.
And just fucking own it. And talk about how, you know, she fucked with Trump, but Trump fucked her, but she's still going to fuck with Trump.
Could be a whole fucking show on this.
Yeah. I would totally be doing that.
And it would do well.
It would. It would, because there are still enough people that don't
and
like
just
him.
That whole victim thing, you know, you don't,
yeah,
but you're a comic.
Bad.
I know, I don't really know comics that sit there and portray themselves as victims. I mean, Louis isn't, you know.
I mean, there are some, but anyway. All right, so we all agree that she's coming across as stupid.
Yeah.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, our Benjamin Franklin drinking term, entered, which is the same term that the doctor had for Joe. Was anybody drunk?
Not the
The doctor was drunk when he entered Joe.
The back door.
I'll use the word. Now use it in a sentence.
He entered.
I was just about to call you guys assholes, but that would just add to the fodder.
You would be the
you'd
expert
have to get
on that
doctor,
this week.
Then you'd get jealous. He'd be entering all of us. Hey, you're my doctor.
I thought we had something.
You said the black glove with the sequins was for me.
No, you took the you regifted the nurse.
So this is a little interesting story here. Well, it's not an interesting story. I like the idea behind it. The story's not nice. The death of a Michigan family of five in January when a truck slammed into their car in Kentucky has Congress wondering whether interlock devices that keep drunken drivers off the road entirely should be mandatory for all vehicles. On Thursday, members of the House Consumer Protection and Commerce Subcommittee specifically invoked the deaths of Issam Abbas, his wife Rima, and their three children as they questioned whether technology that could keep vehicles from being operated by any drunken driver should be widely required. And while any move to mandate devices in all vehicles to keep them from starting without the driver first blowing into a tube or taking some other action to test his or her sobriety is unlikely in the near future, it was clear that some members of Congress and safety advocates believe that the federal regulators should be moving in that direction. What's sad is that the story has been repeated over and over again, and Congress needs to step up and do something about it, said U.S. Rep. Debbie Dingell, a Democrat of Dearborn. The technology exists to save lives. At present, interlock devices are generally only required by state courts after someone has been arrested for drunken driving. But with more than 10,000 drunken driving fatalities a year, some safety advocates and members of Congress are pushing legislation such as Dingell's Abbas Stop Drunk Driving Act, which can mandate interlock devices in an effort to keep drunken drivers off the road. The family was headed home from a vacation trip when a truck operated by 41-year-old Joey Bailey hit their vehicle head-on January 6th on I-75 in Kentucky. A coroner said Bailey had blood alcohol level of 0.306, well above the 0.08 legal limit to drive. The only technology currently available involves an interlocking device that connects to the car and requires the driver to blow into a tube before the vehicle will start. But for more than a decade, the Automotive Coalition for Traffic Safety, an organization funded by domestic and international automakers, has been working on technology that could result in devices that keep a car from starting based on more passive testing, such as automatically measuring the blood alcohol of a driver as he or she breathes naturally behind the wheel, or a touch-based system that measures blood alcohol levels by shining an infrared light through the fingertip of the driver. Pretty cool shit. Robert Strasburger, the president and CEO of the coalition, said that the technology is still being developed. It's only being tested on less than a half dozen vehicles in Virginia, but he hopes it will be available for a wider fleet of vehicles, such government agency vehicles. Automakers aren't at this point advocating making such technology or available interlock devices mandatory. However, are generally loath to have federal regulators or Congress force requirements on them, especially if there are fears that the public isn't ready to accept them or they could result in unacceptably high costs. The auto industry has been investing heavily in the promise of automated vehicles, which could potentially make the problem of drunk driving virtually disappear, though that technology is also unlikely to be widely available in the near future. The Alliance of Auto Manufacturers, a trade group of domestic and international automakers, put out a statement saying that automakers continue to work to address impaired driving and support present-day ignition interlocks and law enforcement's use of them, though they said those rules could always be reviewed. Industry in cooperation with the federal government is also examining emerging technologies to combat drunk driving, the Alliance statement continued. Such technology must not hassle the sober driver. It also must be small, quick, non-invasive, accurate, reliable, repeatable, foolproof, durable, and easy to maintain. And, of course, it must have the public support. Safety advocates and others, meanwhile, argue that Strasburger and the industry are dragging their feet and that if they won't make faster progress, Congress and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration should require by a certain date that the existing interlocking devices be mandated. So that's pretty much the thing of it. I've got to tell you, I like this. I think it should be in cars now. You know what? Putting on a seatbelt was fucking inconvenient, but we did that for safety reasons. We have airbags there. This just seems like a no-brainer. Use the technology we have now. It sucks a little bit. You got to fucking breathe. But you know what? If fucking 10,000 people are dying on our highways and roads every year for drunk drivers, fucking it's worth the investment.
I kind of think that the only people that would argue against doing this are people who drive drunk.
Yeah, I guess. Unless it's just so cost prohibitive.
I mean, well, if the technology costs that much,
I don't know why.
And if it's like it's going to delay by a large margin how fast you can start up your car and everything, like.
But
in
it doesn't. I mean, they already have existing technology.
They do
use
have
that. Use that.
Court ordered. Yeah.
Yeah. So use that now, and then you know keep working to get something better. It just seems like such a no-brainer.
It kind of does.
I never put two and two together that we could have these in everybody's car, but.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a bad idea. You know, when I first read this, I felt, you know, I go, well, this is another an invasion. And I'm like.
And you know about invasion.
He's your.
If I fucking cured cancer tonight, you understand? If I went. This is the cure for cancer, and it's tested. Really? Really? When did you read that? When it had a finger up your ass?
You'd still be poop sample boy.
You know
I'm
what?
Sorry.
here's the deal I'll make with you. If you can cure cancer by the end of the show, I'll wait a week to do more ass jokes.
All right.
I'll give you a reprieve.
I'm going to be out in the next segment. I'll be in the lab.
that's where you took your little nugget.
Funny. So, you know, I was thinking, well, this is another invasion, an intrusive invasion. But then I'm like, but no, not really. I brought it at the same point you did with seatbelts. Here's the key thing, okay? Right now with the tube, I think the tube would be a federal case, and I don't think.
Oh, yes, it would, Joe. Well, Joe can read.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm just trying to do the show.
I treat rape victims very poorly. Leave me alone. I'm sorry. Would you like a sit down with Oprah?
No, I need a fucking hug. You can deal with
well,
this nonsense.
In the wrong place. You want to have a razor blade? How about a Louisville Slugger? Well, that's
so,
a nice...
No.
Wait. So he has a bumper sticker.
I don't want to play show anymore.
Hugs, not nugs.
Hugs, not nugs. There you go. Poor Joe.
Yeah. I had a better time in a doctor's office.
Well, we know. You showed him your tender parts.
Tender vittles.
Go on,
Joe. I feel that with blowing into the tube, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's going to be very invasive and stuff like that. Now, with that being said, the systems that they have are measuring blood alcohol levels with the infrared light, and I think there was another way to do it as well.
Well, it could just take your air from regular breathing.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, so those two things.
They're not perfected yet.
However, okay, I think they should have it. Things are slow coming. I mean, nothing happens overnight. But I would say go with that. And then work on the technologies to get the price point down and maybe have the government help fund some of that technology and then have it introduced into cars, you know.
And make sure that it's sensitive enough that you can't argue in court, no, it was point this, point that. You know, it has to be a really accurate read.
Yeah, I think just getting into the car every time and blowing into a tube, if you're a responsible driver, is a federal case.
How is that a federal case, though? I mean, you have to put on the fucking seatbelt. That's a pain in the ass. I still don't like doing it because I remember the days you don't do it. You didn't have to do it. But you know what? You have to do it.
But you know what? It's almost like the passive seatbelt. Remember the seatbelts with the motorized seatbelts?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was a pain in the neck, and they were gone. They got rid of them. A lot of times there's ideas like that that are, and the public just won't buy the car. They just won't. They won't have it.
Yeah, but if it becomes law, we all had to buy it. We all. You know what happens if you don't put your seatbelt on? Ding, ding. Ding,
diggity, ding,
ding,
ding, ding, ding.
Give me the fucking seatbelt.
and it's always like sort of atonal so that you go in completely insane.
Yeah, so you know what? If you got to get somewhere and the car doesn't start, you fucking blow. It seems like the right
Look,
thing
to do. Look, if I have to do it to get out of a ticket, I think everybody should do it to start the car.
Absolutely.
I say work on the technology, fund it, and work to get the price point down, and then start. Then legislate it in the car. But that's the thing. Start working on it and find out where they can get a price point on that where it's not going to, you know, the car's not going to cost a fortune.
And I'm for do it now with what you have. Because you know what? It just seems, it seems to make so much sense. So many times, lives are lost, people are hurt. Because of drunk driving.
But there is a point to it, though, that each state has their own legal limit. So I would wonder how they're going to regulate the technology.
That's interesting. Because maybe you have to make a federal legal limit.
Yeah, that's going to be another problem because states like their to have their own levels.
Well, you know what? States
have
to shut the fuck up when there's people driving fucking missiles at 80 mile per hour and head on traffic.
True.
You know what?
True.
Let's keep some. This is easy shit. You know, yeah. Here's the thing: the gun debate is in the fucking Constitution. So it's really hard to figure out how are we going to legislate.
Yeah.
Very tricky. This is not in the Constitution.
No.
We can fucking do this.
They didn't see cars coming.
They did not. So I mean, that's where I do this. All right.
Yeah.
We'll do outstanding acts of spite, and then we'll take our last break.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
All right. So, you know, we like our spite here on this show.
Yeah.
So the judges in the Sixth Circuit in Michigan ruled unanimously that a Detroit area cop was in the wrong when he gave a woman a more serious level of ticket after she gave him the finger during a traffic stop. The incident began when Deborah Cruz Gullius was pulled over in the suburban Detroit town of Taylor back in 2017. The officer gave her a ticket, but rather than just letting it go, Cruz Gullius gave the officer Matthew Minard the bird. Apparently, angered by this, Minard then pulled her over a second time and changed the ticket to more serious speeding offense. Cruz Gullius took the case to court, arguing that her free speech rights and rights against unreasonable seizure were violated. On Wednesday, the court ruled 3-0 in her favor, arguing that Minard should have known better. Despite the driver's ill-mannered gesture, the ruling allows a suit by the woman to proceed. I got to say, I agree with the court's decision. We're allowed to give you the bird. We're not assaulting you.
Right.
You know, deal with my finger.
Joe
had to.
It's
oh, they just keep on presenting themselves.
Oh, my God.
Look, there's another one.
There's another bird.
Joe, put a glove on that thing.
That came in your direction, Devin.
Joe, I don't think the court would approve of that.
Oh, my God. And the hits just keep on coming.
Yes, they do.
I think that, I mean, it's the state bird, first of all. We're allowed to give the
finger. Jersey, not Michigan.
Yeah, New
Michigan's
Jersey.
The hand.
Yeah, that's true. But we're allowed to give the bird to people. I think,
yeah, I don't know if that's in the Jersey Constitution.
It should be. It should be number one.
I think this means we can flip off cops. That's my takeaway.
I think we should be allowed to.
I agree.
We should be allowed to express our anger.
For years after I got a ticket, I'd say thank you when I was really thinking fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah, why am I saying thank you? You've just ruined my day.
Yeah, and it's really not a statute on the books of, you know, flipping off a cop. And the cop was wrong because he wanted to make the ticket, you know, he wanted to increase the ticket. The infraction.
I thought once they start writing a ticket, they can't stop. All of a sudden, they can.
That's what I've heard.
But the thing about it is that he's increasing the infraction over her flipping off the bird, not the infraction itself.
Right.
That's where the court throws that out.
That, yeah.
Well, he flipped off the cup. Well, is there a law in the books on that?
Yeah.
I don't think there is.
Yeah. So she's pissed off. It's
He just had to suck it up.
You're not allowed to have a human reaction to something like that. Come on.
I think the cop was actually more spiteful than she was.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
But I love how we have competing acts of spite.
Yes.
Such a great display by these human beings.
It makes me feel proud to be an American.
I've never flipped off a cop, but I'm a little tempted now.
I mean, I do it under the door, like under the window,
yeah,
so they
really
can't
count.
See it. No.
That's like Nick DiPaolo saying all these AOC jokes are funny. Well, if we can't hear them, they don't count.
Tree falls in the woods.
I love when the cop always goes, "Have a good day." How the hell can I? You just fucked it up beyond belief.
Exactly. Well, they're being polite, Joe.
I got a ticket in the city once because I made a left turn 15 minutes before the sign said you're allowed to. One of those tiny signs that you can't read while you're in the middle of the intersection. The guy was pulling over everyone who turned left on that street early. So I got pulled over. The ticket cost more than I made that day. How am I supposed to have a nice day now? You just completely invalidated my entire work day.
You need to hustle a little bit more to sell that vagina of last resort.
I think so.
I got a ticket, was it 2 years ago? Then there was a truck.
I think we actually had music for your tickets at one point.
Yeah, I think so. A truck in front of a stop sign. You couldn't see the stop sign.
I remember that.
So I go through it, and there was the car and stuff like that. And the cop pulls the car around, and he goes,
"Oh, I remember that."
Yeah, he goes, "Yeah, you really can't see the sign there, but you know." And it goes, "Well, you just tell it to the judge." I want to tell it to the judge. I wound up having my friend, who was a DA, another DA, go to another DA, and I still had to pay $80.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
you need better DAs.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so I'm usually very polite after I get my ticket.
I am, too.
But I don't want to be anymore.
No.
I feel unencumbered.
Yeah, I know, but But because you see,
Joe,
you gotta.
Did that trigger you?
But
no. Oh, encumber what?
But
it's a long way to go.
It really wasn't. It was sure. It was right there.
Well, I don't know how far in did he have to go.
It was a very stealth joke.
It's the only type we like. Nobody likes that obvious shit. Type of show you think this is?
Not that obvious shit. We like
I don't know.
That you have to dig for.
Yeah, you gotta dig for your nuggets of gold, Joe. Poor
you
Joe.
Don't like the obvious.
Poor
shit.
Joe, like a little rape victim. He's gonna take his little rape shower.
His rape shower.
He's gonna take his little rape shower. Joe didn't realize how he'd been victimized until this show.
I know, and then we traumatized.
We re-victimized him. I'm glad that we've given Joe a trigger now.
It was to a gun.
He's just like hating us.
That could be arranged.
So hard. No. He'll come back and get us with it.
All right. So, yeah. Great act of spite right there.
Yeah. Like it.
I probably will still be a pussy and still say thank you.
I probably
you
will,
have
too.
You have to. When you get a traffic stop, you turn the car off, you take your keys, your wallet.
You put your
but that's before the ticket. That's before the ticket. That's when you're still trying to play nice. After the ticket, all bets are off.
Yeah, I know. But hands on 10 and 2.
Yeah. I know. But I tell you, I used to talk about it in the act, but fuck you is really what I'm thinking.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? When I got a ticket, a couple of months ago, and I was arguing about this whole way they had the sign set up, and the cop's walking away, and I go, I guess I'll have to see you in court. And he turned around, I thought I said something to him. What'd you say? I said, I guess we'll have to discuss this in court. Oh, you think I'm going to mouth off to you? What's the matter?
Well, people do.
And black people get shot for it.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right.
Well, when they don't comply.
Or even when they do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Rare cases, but for the most part, it's usually the ones
that
don't comply.
There's a lot more of these cases now. It's been a lot of these cases.
Yeah, too many.
Liberals.
I really didn't think it was a liberal thing that didn't want people getting shot. Is that a liberal thing? Is that something that they can run on? We don't want people shot. We're liberals.
You know, it's funny when they're putting the cams on the cops now, and they're actually seeing that the cops are writing a lot of the cases.
Well, that's fine, too. That's good, too.
Yeah, no.
The majority of them.
Everybody should want the cams on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cams should be on all the time.
Let's be able to go to the videotape.
Absolutely. Every fucking time.
Yeah.
Every fucking time I want that cam on.
Yeah.
All right. On the break, we got a new song from Joe's band.
That's right.
Yes.
Fragile Sky with Fear No Evil. They got a gig coming up, and Joe is trying to get you to buy tickets for that gig, and you should buy tickets for that gig.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely go see him.
So what we'll do is we'll leave Fear No Evil on the podcast. This will be our last break. We'll do a real quick Ann Jackson, and yeah, that's what's going to happen. So fucking deal with it.